You are now listening to H4G God Study.
That today marked the day that we will live in God's glory. Amen. We're going to dwell in God's glory. How many will dwell in God's glory this week?
Amen.
Amen. Dwelling in the glory of God. Living there. Making that our home. Somebody, I just got this message, text message. So really, it's a message inside of a text message. I'm just going to read it, all right? It reads, I am a fruit hanging on the tree of life, by the wayside of life. I am exposed to the elements of the four seasons. Nevertheless, I am perfected by the wind of change and grow and glow in the sunshine of redemptive love in spite of the darkness. I sip from the fountain of springs of living waters, and you may find me carrying the scars and the elements that perfected me. But nonetheless, I am the product of these elements that were necessary for the sustenance of your life. So pick me and taste me, and you will find out I was placed on the tree of life by my Creator for the sustainability of your life. I hope I am not bitter to your taste. Enjoy me, for I am the apple of his eyes. Well, like poetry. Amen. Who wrote this? Pastor John wrote this. And before he leaves, he's ready to share this. I'll just post it somewhere, everybody can read it. Amen. So you're waiting for that book to come out. Amen.
Last week was great. I was here last week. That worship was awesome. God bless you. I'll tell you when his wife came and spoke, and then all the others gave testimonies or whatever. But it was wonderful to know that we would speak in the Spirit. And from last week, the Lord has been giving me a few revelations. I've seen an increase in the revelation that God has been because of last week. And some of you spoke about meditation, your books, or whatever, and your contact with singing, whatever. But for some time, I've been contemplating of writing a book, and somehow I'm kind of like physically doing it, but I don't know where to start. But I've been writing and writing and writing, and from last week, I've seen an increase in that revelation. I tell you, in the atmosphere where the Word of God is being preached, you have to sow a seed.
Yeah.
Because the ground is conducive for growth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anytime you see the worship is tremendous, up to the sky, or the teaching is wonderful, and you are getting blessed, God is saying, in essence, you've got to sow a seed.
Yeah.
You've got to sow a seed. It doesn't matter what the seed is, but you've got to sow a seed. Because the truth that you confess is the truth that you possess. The truth that you confess is the truth that you possess. So if you can confess while the word is being preached or being seen or somebody's testifying and you are getting blessed, plant the seed. The reason why you got to plant the seed is because we don't have to first live the Christian life. Because I don't live the Christian life. I don't want to live the Christian life. You may call me a backslider, but I don't want to live the Christian life. What I do, I allow the life of the Christian to live through me. You will not backslide. You will not fail. And if you try to live the Christian life, you will fail. Because if you could, Jesus would not have come. You understand? So Jesus came so that he can live his life through you. Never, never, never in your lifetime try ever again to live the Christian life. You will not be. But the Lord, the life of a Christian, who is Jesus Christ, the one by himself, live through you, and you'll find it a very easy life to live. God bless you.
You really got a witness in the book, right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
You don't try to live the Christian life. Amen. You allow the life of the Christian to live in you. The life of Christ. It's funny, I just talked to Usher that I was speaking yesterday here, and I actually kind of quote almost said kind of like exactly what you said. And that's what happens when our way of the Spirit. Yes, yes.
I woke up with a song in my heart, and I'm going to sing. I don't hear that until you sing. You won't like it. It's not about the words of the song was just about love, just about five or six words, about love, not talking about great. Why am I getting this word about love? And just to come here tonight and Lord, I sing about love, I say, my God is wonderful. I think I'm asking in this place.
Boy, we have work to do together. Amen. You know, when I, Pastor John, for those of you, he was one of the ministers in my home church, in this church. And he ended up, he's in another ministry now. Well, the time that he was here, I can remember when he would preach, and I would never understand what he was saying. It was just that the concepts and ideas and the revelation and the way he's talking. At that point, I could never get what he was saying. It wasn't, and that was about seven, 8 years ago. So when he came back here, and I'm like, and I'm hearing him speak, I'm like, no wonder I couldn't understand. I mean, I wasn't at that place in my spirit to grab hold of what he's saying. What he's saying, the things that we share are coming from a place where spiritually you have to grab it. Spiritually you have to discern it. Amen. And exactly. And what we want to discover tonight is living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and living in God's glory. The whole concept of the glory of God. This is a revelatory teaching that the Lord is leading me to teach. Like we said, I don't hear anybody talking about this. All the stuff that I'm sharing is stuff that the Holy Spirit is giving me, and it's fresh in my spirit, and I'm releasing this stuff. And by way of revelation, I'm asking that you will grab hold of it, because I believe that this is the revelation that is going to bring us into that day when we're going to, obviously we're going to go up in glory. But I don't think we're going to go up into anything that we're already not in. Right? I don't think we're going to go in glory if we're not in glory yet. So you talk about the law of future, that you have to become what you already are. Right? I'm not going to become holy. I have to be made holy to now walk in his holiness. I have to be made righteous to live righteous. You guys hear what I'm saying? And so, I have to be in the Spirit if I expect the Spirit to resurrect me from the dead. If I'm not in the Spirit, then the Spirit won't resurrect me. We're waiting for the day of resurrection, amen, right? And the Spirit of God is going to resurrect us according to Corinthians. We're waiting for rapture. We want to go up in rapture. Those of you who believe in the rapture. I have to be in the one, I have to be in him in order to be raptured in him. So the goal is, if we're going to go up in glory, I have to be in glory already. Amen? So we're not waiting to experience the full manifestation of God's glory in heaven, but we have to already know that we are already seated in heavenly places and that we already have access to God's glory. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for. So when I use faith, I'm materializing or providing a substance to the thing that I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for God's glory, so my faith allows me to actually grab hold of the glory that I already have. If my faith is I'm believing in the fact that we're all going to be healed in heaven, I have the ability to make healing a substance or a reality on earth because of the substance of the things we hope for. So we're hoping for eternal life. I can provide life by hoping for life, by providing a manifestation of God's life, by healing people, or by praying and raising the dead, or by speaking words of life into people when they're dead. And this is the goal of what we want to realize. And when you get into a deeper place in God, you're manifesting who you already are. I want you to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, all that Christ is,
you are.
Tell somebody else. All that Christ is.
All that Christ is.
You are.
You are.
Amen.
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 Right? You are already. 1 John 4:17 says, "For as he was in this world, so are you. As he is in this world, so are you. Therefore, who Christ is, I am right now. I just need to begin to manifest that reality." And that's what our faith does, amen? So I'm releasing this word about us living in God's glory. And as I was, again, I'm just trying to find different ways to teach this lesson and to get us to grab a hold of it in a way that we can all understand. And while I was meditating about this a few hours ago, the Lord began to lay the concept of grace on my heart. Okay, we all know what grace is, amen, right? Can somebody share with me grace? Wait, what is grace? In your perspective, in your own understanding, what is grace? We talk about grace. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. When we talk about grace, what do we mean by grace? Anybody want to share? Oops.
I believe grace is God's empowerment so that we can be effective.
Amen.
Anyone
else? Your name. We got God's empowerment so that we can be effective.
I think grace is not getting something that we deserve.
Getting something that we don't deserve, is that right?
Yeah.
Getting something you don't deserve.
It went both ways.
No, no, no.
It went both ways.
So,
something that we want, that, because you know, sometimes we ask God, oh, Father, I want a big old house. You know, I want $1 million.
Right.
God can give us $1 million if we want to, but grace is, we want it, but he's not giving it to us because he knows that we wouldn't, our character would change once we receive it.
Mm.
So God giving us grace by not giving us something that we want, knowing that we want it, but it will change who we are.
Exactly.
Because if somebody gives it, let's say, for instance, we ask God for $1 million. We forget about God once we get it. I don't need God, I got $1 million.
Okay, two more points.
But if you think about it, the scripture actually makes, oh, hi. I'm getting what I deserve. We deserve eternal damnation.
Yes.
Right? So we're not getting that because of us.
Oh, yes, this is a lot. Don't deserve, saying, God, I didn't deserve life today, but I got it. Thank you, God, for life. Or thank you, God, for breath. I didn't deserve it, but thank you, God, for life. So it does come to
place.
Amen.
Speak,
daughter.
Or what would be mercy? What is mercy? Not receiving what you deserve. So grace would be the opposite. Receiving something that you don't deserve. And mercy is not receiving what you deserve. Grace is receiving what you don't deserve.
Alright, so we got that. So he said you have to look at grace and mercy together, because what we see mercy as, mercy is what Jermaine first said, mercy is getting what you deserve. It's getting what you don't deserve. No, mercy is getting, it's not getting what you deserve. And grace is getting what you don't deserve. So let's look at it in the light of judgment. Let's look at it in the light of judgment, right? As we just talked about. All right, let's just say I killed Ryan's dog. Let's say I killed Ryan's dog. Now, killing someone's dog is... Killing Ryan's dog or killing a dog is it's against the law, right? Animal cruelty, can't do that stuff. So for me to kill Ryan's dog, I will have to experience or the law will be enforced against me that I will have to go to jail or whatever the fines is or the penalty of killing a dog. I will have to face that. If I was to receive mercy from killing Ryan's dog, that would be me escaping the penalty of what I deserved by killing Ryan's dog. So that means I did something wrong and I need to be judged for it. Mercy is me not getting what I deserve, which would be the judgment. Right?
Or lesser judgment.
Right? Now, grace, on the other hand, will be me, I did something wrong, but for not only that I'm not getting what I deserve, but in addition to that, I receive a check from the, what's the ASPCA, the animal shelter. They give me a check for $100. I don't deserve $100. I just killed a dog. Grace is me getting what I don't deserve, while mercy is me not getting what I deserve. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You get graces. I'm getting what I don't deserve. I'm getting something additional. I don't deserve this, but you're giving me this. I don't deserve $100 for killing this dog, but he gives me that anyway. Right? And
or real simple like us. So because like the Bible said, the wages of sin is death.
Right.
So if you sin, you're supposed to die. But we didn't die because of mercy. But grace also gave us life. And everlasting life. So if you also look at it that way. Because wages of sin is death. We didn't get death. But as grace, we didn't get death. But we also got grace, which is favor, which is everlasting life. Which is beyond that.
Right? So that's good? Yes.
I think a really good example for grace and mercy. I think a really good example for grace and mercy would be like I think it's Luke 6:3-6 or something like that, where the prodigal son. I think that's a really good example that the way the boy just like left his parents' house and his father's house and he went and do what he has to do, and then he comes back when he has nothing. And the father just threw a party for him, you know, gave him the best of this and the best of that. But really, in actuality, you should be like, you know, shunned. Like, you know what? You left my house. You go do what you got to do. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Amen. That's good, right? Amen. So the prodigal story, there, the prodigal son, good, great example. He didn't deserve to get. He didn't. The thing was, he didn't expect to get all of that either. Because he knew he really didn't deserve it. He was just like, I'm just content with just coming back and I'll just, you know, just be a servant in the house, you know. And then he was restored and was given even more than he deserved. And why I'm talking about grace is because grace is the new covenant of God. Grace is the new administration of God. Grace is the way that God deals with his people today. It's a lot different than how he used to deal with his people under the old covenant. Under the old covenant, you did something wrong, you were cursed, you received a penalty for what you did, you were judged right then and there. Right? And we see that's how the old covenant was. God has changed the way that he governs his people today. He governs us with grace. And his people need to be full of grace. Because we gotta express, grace is the atmosphere of God's glory. If we're going to live in God's glory, we got to learn how to live and walk in God's grace. I'm going to take you guys to a little deeper in understanding grace today. Because glory is experienced through the grace of God. It's because of his grace, we have been given his glory. That's why when I talk about we've been given the glory of God, all that Christ is, we are, everything that he has, he's given to us. That's all expressions of God's grace and his love for us. Not only did he show us his mercy by delivering us from sin and saving us from the penalty of sin, he's given us everything that Christ has. We become sons of God. We become adopted into the family of God. We experience the fullness, the riches, and everything that Christ has because of God's grace. Amen? So therefore, the sons of God, who the Holy Spirit is forming us to be, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen? And the Spirit of God leads us through the grace of God. And the grace of God leads us to the glory of God. I'll say that again. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God leads us through the grace of God. The grace of God leads us to the glory of God. Amen. Sons of God are led by the Spirit. Amen. We know that. The Spirit of God is led, leads us, through the grace of God. And the grace of God leads us to the glory of God. Why? Because let's look at the scripture, all right? I'm going to show you guys the scripture. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, Paul was someone who, he went in and he taught a great deal about God's grace. As I mentioned before, he always started his letters talking about, you know, grace be unto you. He ended his letters saying grace be unto you. Paul had a deep revelation about God's grace. And I'm telling you, we also need to have a full demonstration and a revelation of God's grace in our lives. Now, Ephesians chapter 3. The whole chapter, I'm going to just read from verse 7. 7 through 10. Now let's read. Verse 7 says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Now this is Ephesians 3, 7. Paul is talking. Verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Amen. Now let's stop there. So without grace, there would be no glory for us to experience. Because if God didn't give us grace, well, again, we didn't deserve anything that God has to give us. But we get to experience God's glory because of God's grace. Amen? He's given it to us freely. Grace is something that we don't deserve. It's freely given to us. Right? And so with that in mind, Paul is letting us know, I was made a minister according to the gift and the grace of God. He understood I didn't deserve to be a minister of God's grace. Why? Because I just was killing Christians left and right a few years ago.
Amen.
I was persecuting them. I thought I was right. And because of that, when Paul got an encounter with Jesus face to face on the road to Damascus, and his life was changed, and he began to study the Word, and the Holy Spirit began to minister to him and pour out revelation into his spirit. One of the revelations he received was this grace. He said, Paul, the same way how you've been persecuting me, I'm going to allow you to go, and I want you to preach for me. So when Paul understood, Paul's like, how can I be a minister? Look at the next verse in verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints. The least of all saints. Here's the man. Now, everybody says Paul is the one who, you know, he literally was carrying the church at one point. He had to rebuke Peter and some of the older apostles and let them know, listen, stay in the flow. Stay in the flow of the Spirit. And then he came after these guys. But Paul, God, the anointing was on Paul, and the anointing broke and humbled Paul to the point where he realized, I'm the least of all saints. How many people can say that? Right? You're the least of all saints. When he talks about we count each other more higher than each other. Right? He was humbled by God's grace. And then that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I mentioned a few weeks ago that riches is one of the manifestations of glory. So when he talks about I can preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, he's talking about I can preach the manifestation of God's glory, this riches, the wealth, the honor, the splendor, the majesty, all that Christ has, what makes him rich, what makes him glorious. I can preach this to the Gentiles and letting them know that by God's grace, you also can experience this.
Come on.
And then he says, verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Wow. So Paul was preaching as a gift from the grace of God, the glory of God, which is found in the riches of Christ, is made available to us. It's available to us by God's grace. Amen? And without grace, we got to realize my entire Christian life is nothing. Because, see, the Holy Spirit, He operates and He functions by grace. The Holy Spirit administrates by grace. Let's rewind to verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the what? Dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Let me write that word down. It's very important that we understand that. Dispensation. Some of your translations might actually say administration. Does it? Dispensation or administration. Now, what's an administration? When you hear the word administration or administrator, what's an administrator? Or something that's an administration. The administration on your job, what do? They lead, right? They're leaders. They're the ones who's in control. A dispensational administration is a system or it's a governance on how to get things done. All right, pretty much. They teach you how to. They're the ones responsible for teaching you how to get things done. A system, an environment. Now, the Holy Spirit, who is our leader, our administrator, right? The Bible says, for the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. He leads us. He guides us into all truth. If we're learning how to live and walk in the Spirit, we got to learn how to walk in grace. Why? Because the Bible lets us know in verse 2, you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. See, the Holy Spirit, He administrates and He gets things done through grace. The Holy Spirit gets things done through grace. He's leading us, the sons of God, to become one with the Son of God. And he's doing this by grace. And we become one with him through the grace he's provided us, because the grace leads us to the glory of God. And Jesus let us know the only way that we're going to become one with him is by his glory. Which is what he says in John 17, 22. Which he says, Father, the glory you've given me, I give to them, that they may be made one as we are one. So we've been trying to change by following the law, which is the old covenant, and we're not going to be changed that way. We've been trying to change by legalistic approaches, religion. We've been trying to change by following concepts and principles and models and forms without allowing the Holy Spirit to inspire and lead us to Christ and lead us into transformation with him. See, because it's the grace that leads us, and grace doesn't function under the law. Because this is the new covenant. This is a new dispensation, a new administration. Are you following me? See, under the old covenant, they didn't have grace. They had judgment.
Come on, break it down.
Remember, they didn't. If you broke one law, you were guilty of breaking them all. You knew that? This is why they could never get it right. The nation of Israel could never get it right. They had the laws, and they tried to live, and that was the standard by which they had to live for God. But under living under that dispensation of the old administration, they can never get it right because they always find a way to mess up. So when God, when Jesus said, I'm going to send one, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit was coming with his new way of doing things, his new way of getting things done. And the Holy Spirit way of getting things done was operating by grace. By giving you what you don't deserve. He educates us, anoints us, he empowers us, he forgives us when we feel like we don't deserve to be forgiven.
Yes.
He doesn't condemn us, he encourages us. Under the old covenant, they were condemned. They experienced condemnation. This is why Paul said in Romans 8. What he said in Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is what? No condemnation for those who are where? In Christ. And who walk not
after the flesh,
but after the Spirit. Why? Because he Paul understood in the old way of doing things, there was condemnation. There was, you know what else was there? There was condemnation. Let's make like a little T chart? Like t-shirts in the room? Oh, that would be me. You know what I'm saying, right? Alright, so the old covenant. And let's make the other one for the new covenant. I want us to see the difference, alright? We're going to understand why grace is so powerful and how grace is going to lead us to the glory of God. Alright, old covenant or old dispensation or the old administration. Alright, so under the old covenant, one of the things we said was what? There was condemnation, right? Judgment, I said? Let's use condemnation. Under the old covenant, discrimination. You know the discrimination under the old covenant? There was race discrimination and gender discrimination. Only the Jews, only the Israelites, and only those people were blessed. Women weren't allowed to be one of the priests in the house. What we see, for example, under the new covenant, what did he do? But there is neither male nor female, bond nor free. There is no discrimination, segregation, and things like that under grace. So there's no condemnation, no discrimination. What else? think I had perhaps type of something in my notes. I'm so bad at it. What else do we see? Well, let me just go off the scroll. Condemnation, discrimination.
Yeah.
What's that?
Death.
Death, very good.
Bondage.
What else? Huh? You said sacrifices? Animal sacrifices. I'll put animal sacrifices. We still a sacrifice, right? We present our bodies and stuff. And what else? Oh, that's good. Huh? All right, cool. Animal slash dead sacrifices. Very good. Now, for those of you, once again, if you know the old covenant stories, you understand a little better a lot of these ideas that under the old dispensation, God functioned under different ways. You know that? God functioned under a different system. But that was what we call the law of Moses. The way that Moses operated to govern. But under the new covenant or the new dispensation, the Bible says there is no condemnation. Romans 8, we just read that, right? Condemnation. What else? I mentioned the fact that there's no discrimination. There is neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Gentile. In the Spirit, we are all one. Unity in the Spirit, amen?
Amen.
But there's unity. Come on. No discrimination. For the law of the Spirit is what? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. You can add sin in this equation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. So we have life. Under the old covenant was religion. We have now a relationship with God under the new. Hallelujah. Under the old covenant, you have to sweat to get it. In the new covenant, we don't have to. We're called to rest and not sweat. You have to work for your salvation. You see so many today operating on the old covenant mentalities.
Wow.
Trying to work to stay saved. We're working to get saved. You don't do that.
Yeah.
This is one of the hardest transitions that we got to come out of.
Yeah.
Working to get saved or working to stay saved. That's an old covenant mindset. In Christ, the Bible actually, Paul actually saw, or the writer of Hebrews, actually tells us in Hebrews 4 that we're supposed to labor, therefore, to rest. We're supposed to work to stop rest, to learn how to rest in God. Hebrews 4. Isn't that amazing? The only thing we're supposed to work to do is finally get ourselves to say, all right, I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I've been forgiven of my sins. My past isn't holding me down anymore. I have a new future because all things are made new. We have to learn to rest in the Word of God now. Rest in who God, rest in who Christ is in us. So what you guys trying to find? Can you see over here? What's that? Ah, thank you. You're almost going on this side, right? Phil said that we had a middleman under the old covenant. Somebody went to God on my behalf, right? But now all of us have access to God. And again, that middleman concept is still tied in with the religion. Somebody go to God for us. But now we have a relationship, amen? We can all go to God. See how much better this new covenant is?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Freedom. We didn't put that good bondage on me, but now we have freedom.
I'm free.
Hallelujah. For where the Spirit of the Lord is,
liberty.
There is liberty. There is freedom.
Yes, sir.
I want you guys to see this. These many people don't walk in the Spirit, Matthew, because they don't walk in grace.
Right.
We don't walk in the Spirit yet because we don't know how to walk in grace.
Jesus.
But if you learn to walk in grace, you start walking in the anointing and walking in the power of God. Because the power of God, the anointing, the Holy Spirit, He functions and operates through an atmosphere of grace. Through an atmosphere of freedom, an atmosphere of giving people what they don't deserve.
Yes.
Come on.
Right.
So when we're in church and we're constantly getting people to look at their sins and judge them and cast them down and tell them how bad they're off and how old they are, we're not operating in grace. We're operating under the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Old Dispensation. And the Holy Spirit functions through liberty, through freedom.
Yes.
And freedom is intimidating for a lot of us who are used to being in bondage.
Yes.
If we're used to being enslaved, freedom is one of the most intimidating things.
Yeah.
This is why many of us still preach the Old Covenant. Because I can still keep you under my kind of my control. If I can tell you to keep living according to these guidelines and not by the freedom of the Holy Spirit, I lose control of you.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't allow the Holy Spirit to do His job.
Right.
We don't allow the Holy Spirit to get a chance to do His job. So many pastors, they continue to administrate under a legalistic approach to try to keep you in a state where they can manage you. We want to try to keep God in a box. This is why Jesus can't be tied down to any box. As much as many times the Pharisees try to trick him and get him to say, he's like, why are you doing this? John's disciples, they wash their hands before they ate. Why are your disciples not doing this? They try to keep God down. See, religion would celebrate what God has done while persecuting what He's doing.
Wow.
They will celebrate what God has done while crucifying what He's doing. They will build a monument around yesterday's anointing, the way things were used to be done, and will stay there because they're familiar with that.
Amen.
But when the Holy Spirit is leading, we gotta follow Him.
Yes.
When the Holy Spirit, like sons of God, are led by the what? Spirit of God. And one of the things you gotta learn, if we're gonna learn how to walk in the Spirit and live in the glory of God and become sons, we gotta learn how to be led by the Spirit. See, it's hard. See, the anointing doesn't work well when you're filled with theology and principles and concepts and models.
That's right.
Formulas, this is how things are supposed to get done. The anointing doesn't work well with that because He operates by grace, where there's liberty, there's freedom. He wants us filled with His glory, not theology. He wants us to get this stuff. And the only way we'll do that is by learning how to let go and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, to die to ourselves, and allow His administration to go to work in us. Amen? Matthew, you feel like you got something to say?
Real quick. Actually, Celeste was there. I was talking to a friend of mine, somebody I kind of look up to, in the faith. And we were talking about, somehow the topic of tattoos came up. And so we were talking about it, and, the guy I was talking about was like, sometimes I feel ashamed because of my tattoos, all these things. And I was like, I understand you regret it, but, Christ came to free you from guilt.
Right.
So take guilt with you. So I was talking about that, and then the other friend I talked about, which is like, well, no, because, the book, Leviticus and all these things. And so from there, I was like, all right, well, the new covenant gave us the Spirit. He wrote the laws on our hearts.
Yes.
And the Spirit gives you a personal relationship where He guides you into what God wants you to do, what he doesn't want you to do. So I was giving an example, you know, I wanted a tattoo after I came out of high school. And I was definitely going to get it. Like, I turned on everything, and like, I was just like, no. And I'm like, all right, but I can't imagine myself with a tattoo now. But like, bro, I really want to get a tattoo, though. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to get a tattoo, and I'm going to get it. And I was like, you know, the Holy Spirit told me not to do it, but he may tell someone, like, what's the guy, Todd Bentley. He's like, whatever, you know, that's what you want to do, but, you know, it's personal. And the guy, like, I'm telling you, that was the first time, because we're talking about some theory, but that was the first time I've ever seen in real life someone really would not let go of old wine. Like, he was like, no, the book of Leviticus is for the Levites and the musicians. And I'm like, yo, you don't read, like, he loves Paul, but I'm like, he doesn't believe what Paul says.
Wow.
Right, like God's confined by the tattoo. You can't work. I was like, wow. So it's real, like, this is real. So.
Let me tell you, the war that we're going to experience spiritually is just that. The spirit of religion. The spirit of religion. Like I mentioned before, Jesus never had a problem with demons. He never had a problem with devils. Who crucified and persecuted him? The Pharisees. The spirit of religion worked at him. Demons bowed themselves and asked for his mercy. They didn't have a problem with any demons. The system, the spirit of religion, and the old administration wanted to stifle and to keep the work of God from coming to pass on the earth. If we're going to allow the glory of God to fill us, we have to break free from the spirit of religion, the old perception, the old way of doing things. The Holy Spirit is operating through grace now, not the law. Not the Lord. You see? And because of that, see, under the old covenant, they had an external compliance. They read the book. They read the tablets. It was written all over the place. You got to follow this rule. You got to follow that rule. You got to live by this. You got to die by this. You got to do all this stuff. But under the new covenant, there's no external compliance. There's an internal compliance. There's a new way of doing things. The Lord's written in our hearts. The Holy Spirit now lives in us, and he leads and guides us all in a personal relationship. But the problem is, many of us, we still haven't submitted ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Many of us, we haven't even accepted him into our hearts yet. Right? We've been taught to accept Jesus, but not taught to accept the Holy Spirit. And when you read when you read the Gospels, or specifically Acts, you never see them going around asking, are you saved? Did you accept Christ in your heart? They ask you, did you receive the Holy Spirit?
Come on.
You see the difference? Why? Because they knew if you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive Christ. And you'll be empowered to live like him. Amen. This is what we are asked. Did you receive the Holy Spirit yet? Are you filled? Because that's where it all counts. This is how we're on. It's the only way we're going to learn how to live as a son of God, how to live like Christ. It's through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And he administrates and lives and operates in us through grace.
Amen.
That's right.
When you sin and you do something wrong, he doesn't condemn you or judge you or put you down. I'm telling you, some of the deep, even the things that I'm getting today, I believe. The greatest revelation I've got were the times when I felt like I didn't deserve it.
Yes.
I'm telling you, anybody in here? You know that's an expression of God's grace.
Yes.
Giving you what you don't deserve.
Yes.
Amen.
When I didn't feel like I should be blessed, a blessing came. I'm like, God, why are you doing this to me? I wanted to feel bad about what I was doing. I wanted to just sit there like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to play the keyboard this Sunday. I'm not going to do anything because I did something wrong. You know what? I was looking for comfort in the old covenant. Not in the comforter. We got to learn how to find comfort in the comforter. Jesus. So the anointing, the Holy Spirit, he functions on this different way, this new way of doing things, and it's a little different. Let's go back to Ephesians. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, let's look at Galatians. Right? Right before Ephesians. Let's turn to Galatians and see a little bit more of what Paul is saying about this. Jesus. Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only what I learned of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the words of the Lord, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you not made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Now let's stop. Notice what he said. He said, having begun in the Spirit, are you not made perfect by the flesh? What he meant by work, by being made perfect in the flesh, by your works, by what you're doing in your own strength. Again, trying to sweat to impress God. Right? You want to impress God by resting in Him. Faith. Accepting what He says and just believing it. That's the rest.
Amen.
Somebody has to take that. Verse 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Wow. Okay? Now let's fast forward to, you can read this whole chapter in your chat. I just want to show you guys some key points in this text. Now let's fast forward, verse 22. I love these last few portions of scripture. Verse 22 says, but the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Now remember, the law is in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. What did we say last week? The Old Testament is what? The New Testament concealed, while the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So the revealing of what God was trying to teach us through the law is revealed under the new covenant. Let's see. How is that possible? Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, our teacher, to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ. Paul said, verse 25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ. The Lord taught us that we're going to need a Savior, that we're going to need someone to redeem us and to forgive us and to save us from the law and from our sins. The Lord taught us the knowledge of good and evil. It taught us what was right and wrong. When we ate the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, we needed to know what was good and what was evil. We just had the fruit, but we didn't know the difference.
Right.
Wow. So God had to give us the law to say, all right, this is good and this is evil.
Right.
So all the Lord did was to teach us the law of God, but then grace came to teach us the love of God.
Yeah.
All the Lord did was to serve us and to operate as a schoolmaster to show us our need for Christ when He came. So then when we go back to verse 25, He says, after that faith is come. Remember, I'm realizing that faith is not just simply something, it's someone. Faith is someone.
Break it down, Pastor. Break it down. Come on now.
Faith is Jesus.
Yes.
He is faith. Come on.
Amen.
So when faith has come, hallelujah. For faith comes by hearing, and the hearing of the word of God. Who is the word? Jesus is the word.
Put it together.
Jesus is the word. And if faith comes with the hearing of the word of God, faith is Jesus. So when I go back, after faith has come, Jesus, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So in order for me to put on Christ, I have to take off something. I take off my old way of doing things. I take off my old concepts, my old mindsets. I have to take off this old way of doing things. Paul had to convict Peter plenty of times because Peter was still trying to conform a little bit to how the Jews were doing things under the old covenant. And Paul was like, no, we're not under that system anymore. They were saying, well, maybe if we can still eat a certain way, or maybe if we can still do it. Paul was like, no, Peter, we're not under that system anymore. It was a whole new way of thinking. You can imagine how hard it was. For centuries, people have been living a certain way, and Jesus comes and says, okay, we're no longer living like that anymore. It's a little difficult. So now, Paul's like, we got to learn to now put on Christ. Learn Christ. Amen? And in verse 28, in Christ, there is neither what? Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither what? Male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. You are all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Next week I'll talk about the Abrahamic covenant. So we can understand how great this promise is. Right? And we talk about covenants a little bit more next week. But I want us to get this. I want us to understand that the new way of doing things, what we find in Christ by way of the Holy Spirit, is not going to be found in the law. It's not going to be found in the legalistic approaches. Because he came to give us relationship with God. Religion functions by legalistic approaches. And then relationship is only as... I can only... build a lasting relationship by if it's driven by passion or if it's driven by repetition. Okay. If I drive my relationship by repetition, it won't be sustained. It'll get boring. Let's say I'm talking about male or female and you're loving somebody. If I did the same thing for my wife every weekend, maybe the first time it was something exciting. She said, oh, yeah, this is great. She loved it. The following week, I came back and I did the same thing. The next week after that, came back and I did the same thing. And you think after the fourth or fifth time, she was like, okay, can you try something different? Can you do something new? I appreciate what you're trying to do, but it's getting a little boring. See, religion is repetition. Relationship requires me to become creative. It requires me to now use passion in what I'm doing. It forces me to do a little more. See, boredom is the fruit of religion. When you're bored in your faith, it's because you operate religiously.
Right.
Because it's supposed to be something that's fun and enjoyable. My relationship can't be boring, can't be repetitive. That's why I fight myself from saying the same things to God. I fight myself from having a repetitive lifestyle when I come to Him. Sometimes I gotta switch it up and be a little spontaneous with Him. And keep the love burning and keep the passion. The same way I gotta work to do that in a natural relationship, I gotta do that with God. See, religion, you can't do that when you're religious. Hallelujah. Come on.
Hallelujah.
So now if that's the case. So now religion it builds through labor. But our relationship builds through love, amen? And it's through my passion for Him. God, I don't want you to be bored of my worship. I don't want you to be bored of my praise. I want to be able to do something different. So I want to say something new to you today. You know? I don't always gotta come before in my prayer time and I'm warring in the spirit. Sometimes God just wants me to just lay before him. Sometimes I just need to just play a CD and just sing some songs in while nobody is looking at me. Come on, just go on my knees and do something different. This is a relationship. This is not religion. There's no legalistic approach. You can be creative with your faith. See, there's liberty in the spirit. There's liberty under grace. There is a freedom. This is why it literally hurts me when I come and I come into certain places and they tie people's worship down. So you can't worship this way. You can't say this. You can't do this. It hurts. Literally hurts me. I get grieved. There's only Spirit in me. There's grieved, but I admit it. Not me too. I get so grieved. God doesn't want memorized concepts and formulas and all that stuff. Mechanical, right?
You are the Spirit.
I think God, this is an era where God is shifting us from robotic worship to romantic worship. Yeah. Up stuff when the Holy Spirit has already came with everything we need.
So we become, you know, we become working at something that's already in motion, working for us. So that's why we get bored with our faith. Then we go through warfare and pressure, we don't worship no more, because all the time when we were worshiping was to be seen. But now when the trials come, and when things don't go the way you wanted to go, and now it's time to really prove and press play on your revelation. Because God will always create a situation where he will teach you what you've been studying to see if you really got it. Because we come to Monday after Monday after Monday after Monday, now the pressure, some of us are so much pressure, and even the teaching, God's trying to see, did you really get the teaching? Did you really get the teaching? So now God is trying to press play, see if you really recorded. Did you press record when you were getting teaching? Did you press record when you got slaved? Did you press record when the power of God hit you? Did you record? So now it's time to press play into God's performance. Now, why would God want to press play back on you? He's not hearing nothing that he put in you. Some people are depressed, they're in depression, they're going through so many things because all along they were working to be seen. Working to be seen, and then I was just mentioned to Danielle and Joy, it becomes sanctified psychic reading. To the point where we start ministering to people to their hearts and start giving the prophetic word of the Lord. The prophetic word of the Lord does not massage your emotions. Jeremiah 1 tells you what the prophetic word is for. It's for the uproot, to tear down, to pull up. And a celebration in the purpose of God, not for your emotions. So we got to watch how we receive messages, because it's all, we're human. So it's easy for us as human beings to tap into what's in our hearts. It makes you more human, not anointed. So when the word of the Lord comes, it's an order to what God does. So we can do things in decency and order, not in mechanics and cosmetics. So we will actually get the word of the Lord. So when the man of God is teaching, when we leave here, we can really be byproducts of hungry for God, most of all, Jesus Christ, and leaving here putting the word of God in performance. We play our role, not our R-O-L-L, but our R-O-L-E. We play our role in God's performance. Because God is looking for people to represent him for real. With a grace, with a love, with a passion. Like you said, doing things different. Doing things, leaving room, matter of fact, to allow God to do things to you different. Because when you commit to a flow, do you think that everywhere you go, that flow works everywhere you go? So if God used me over here one way, then I can't expect God to use me in Africa the same way. But we're so committed to that. We committed to that, so we say, okay, God's going to use me here, but we have to leave room for the Holy Spirit to be God. You don't have to say amen. The word of God is right and it's true, because it's really time for us to really, really get it for real and really, really operate in the grace of God. So there's a dying world out here, and that's why we got to really, really get delivered from our insecurities, from our jealousies, from all things in our hearts, so our stream of the Lord can be pure and not polluted. Because Satan can only have leeway through the things that you hold on to. That's how demons come. Just demons only come because they are attracted to the things you don't let go. You still holding insecurity, you still holding what happened to you in school, and what this person did to you, and how the church hurt you, and how this person slapped you, and how this person did this to you, and you hold that, and you mix it with your gifts. Your gifts become, the stream in your gift becomes polluted. And then you'll minister from a polluted stream. And then you throw that on the body of Christ, and then God has to quarantine your ministry. And he has to put you in the place of exclusion. You have an anointing, but he has to put you in quarantine. Because if he even loose you, it'll be an outbreak in the body of Christ. And he made a promise to those that dwell in the secret place. He said, no plague shall come by thy dwelling. So if you wonder why you have a ministry, or you can see it, or you can see in view of how where you're going, but you're still quarantined, it's God telling you that you got to be purged. Because I have an anointing and I have a assignment on your life, but I can't release you because what you have is contagious. So you'll start coughing on my people instead of releasing me to my people. So we have to allow ourselves to really get delivered from our jealousies, our gossips, all the stuff that's in our hearts. And we want to shout on it, we want to worship on it, we want to wave our hands. And some of you can't say amen because conviction is in you, because you want to wait till you leave here to talk about me. It's okay. I stand by myself. It's all right. You can talk about me. And that is being a true problem. You get talked about. It's okay. It's all right, but it's not taking over. We're a team here. Me and my brother, we're a team. And we're not playing with the devil. And one of the jobs of the prophet is to expose the devil when he comes in scripture, when he comes in the Bible, quoting stuff and saying, and he speaks the word. The devil can prophesy too. The devil can do all that mechanic stuff. And get you, oh my God, that was the Lord. None of that will shout. God said, I want you to be broken in your spirit. The secret place of the Most High shall abide, not visit, shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. When you are in the secret place with God, hallelujah, no demon, no depression, no thoughts of killing yourself, amen. When you are pure in your heart, when the devil comes, you rejoice when Satan comes, because Satan comes to confirm what you possess. Some of our ministries, you have a grace, you have an anointing, amen, you blessed, you highly favored, but until you get your spirit delivered, until you nod to the word, instead of being stuck up in the word, you're going to have a ministry that's going to be great, but it's going to be quarantined. It's going to be a ministry in circles, just in Brooklyn, just in New Jersey, just in Long Island. I will not send you to nations until you can forgive your mother, until you can forgive people, until you can love, until you can be very sensitive in your heart about what the things that God is calling you to do. Because we have a private defeat, a private talk, a private gossip, but we have a public front. And God is after you that you are when you're not here. He's after you when you by yourself. Bring her to church, bring him to church, and the anointing will hit you, because the anointing is looking for that one that you cover up. Bring that one to church, because until you get in your spirit, it's about his will. And I feel the Father's heart in here. I feel his heart in here. I feel the weeping. I feel the heart of him, because he don't hate us. He loves us. Sincerely, Jesus Christ loves us. And if he got us gathered here, he's counting on us, amen, to represent him wholeheartedly in speech and deed. I was sharing some of my messages, and we went somewhere, went to the mall, somebody spoke us, how you doing? I didn't have to know the person, but the person said hi. I felt good saying hi, because me saying hi, when he spoke to me, is another way of witnessing. I don't have to be in the Lord, and the Bible says, no, being nice sometimes is witnessing. But I'm telling you this, we really have to be very sensitive. The Spirit of God is so heavy in here, and I'm holding back tears because I feel that, like you're saying, I've been feeling grief to like the 10th power. I've been asking God to even help me with the sharing. Except I'm hearing, so listen to the babbling. Yeah. It's just bad. It's not even talking. It's not even talking about him. It's babbling. All you hear is me and me and me. God said, listen carefully to the conversation. Listen to what people say. They ain't even talking about my son. They only talk about the things that interest them about me, but never about me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Learn of me, not religion, not church, not your song, not your ministry. It ain't about you. It's about what my son is up to. It's about my son. You will not gain heaven without the son. You don't have to say amen. Grace is keeping us. Grace is sustaining us. This worship, I feel it in the pit of my belly right now. Some of you should feel the power. You should feel the anointing. You can feel the weeping in your eyes. You can feel the pull of God in your belly. If you're in tune with God, you should feel a pull right now in your spirit. But when you're selfish, what he's saying is boring. Some of you already say it's boring because you know why? Because God administers to your emotions. You know, he ain't saying that. I went down with God, and he didn't do that to my spirit because you're not looking for a word. No, this is the word. Because God is speaking past your flesh.
Amen.
He's speaking past your spirit. He's speaking past where you are. Because he has to speak a word past you to get you where you gotta go. There's an urgency in the spirit. There's a 911. And there's a call on the pure in heart. For the pure in heart shall see God. Not prophets, not elders, not bishops, not singers, not musicians. No, pure singers, pure prophets, pure teachers, pure. For they shall see God. Can we just lift our hands when the man of God comes and give God the glory out of your spirit?
You gotta give grace again. We want to show grace to those that hurt us. We want to show grace to the people that offended us. We want to forgive them. We want to bless them. Because it's how we become recipients of his grace. We want to give grace to get more grace. Come on. We make room for God's grace by giving grace to others. We make room for the anointing. We make room for the Holy Spirit. When we show grace, kindness, love, and forgiveness to people. Come on. Lose ourselves, come on, lose our eye.
Let's go.
know. Don't you find somebody you know, though, quickly. Don't you brag pants, though.
More of you, more of you.
Somebody you don't know.
More of you.
You're not familiar with, or somebody you really know. Take turns, and I want you to speak into their lives. I want you to speak the grace of God. I want you to speak the grace of God. I want you to speak blessings into them. Speak the peace of God. Speak the, you know, the revelation of Christ in their hearts. I want you to just speak whatever the Lord can put on your heart. I want you to release grace on them, right? Just take turns, one at a time. Just bless them. If there's a need that they have, I want you to meet that need in Christ.
This has been H4G God Study, Living in God's Glory, Grace, the New Era.